Well, this is our second sermon in our seven-week series around grandparenting with grace. Tonight's topic is My Children and Grandchildren Need a Saviour. I think sometimes as parents and grandparents, we can be more concerned with our children and grandchildren going to the best schools, receiving a high ATAR, being offered the top job, and even being married than them wanting to follow King Jesus. None of these things are bad, but when we focus on worldly pursuits, it stops us from pursuing Jesus and putting our trust in him. Our children and grandchildren see this. I was fortunate enough to have four grandparents growing up and two great-grandparents. All of them were Christians. However, there was only one grandparent that I truly thought was godly and Christ-like in her behaviour. I really wanted to be like her growing up. I fondly called her Pajama Nanny. We received a new pair of pyjamas every Easter. My great-grandparents were Presbyterians, very stern, very proper, and I remember them often saying at the dinner table, "Children shall be seen and not heard." My other grandparents can only be described as very odd, strange, and at times quite ungodly. Pajama Nanny was humble. She was kind and gentle. Her faith was very simple. Love God, love people. The memories we created have had a lasting effect on my faith. I think we can all agree that our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, and our godchildren need a saviour. In Isaiah 56:6, it says this: "All we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, everyone turned to his own way." That's a pretty good description of all of us, isn't it? Grandparents, parents, and our grandchildren. We all want to go our own way and not God's way. That's what the Bible calls sin, and it's why all of us need a saviour. We all need Jesus. If our lives are characterised by dependence on the Lord and a continual celebration of the good news of the gospel, our adult children and grandchildren will grow up seeing that conversation about Jesus is a central part of Christian life. What if our grandchildren reached adulthood with many recollections of their grandparents verbally pointing them to Jesus? Our children and grandchildren need Jesus. You know how strongly our memories are tied to certain aromas. Maybe you can recall a certain aroma when entering your own grandparents' home many years ago. Possibly it's your grandma's cooking or baking. My grandmother loved to bake, and she was good at it. I can almost remember the aroma of her dark, moist chocolate cake with the most delicious icing. What aroma will your grandchildren recall years from now when reflecting on you? Wouldn't it be incredible if that aroma that came to their memory was that as grandparents we might be so saturated with Christ and his gospel that our grandchildren smell him when they are around us? We need to create eternity-shaping memories that will produce a lifelong faith in Jesus. Our children and grandchildren need Jesus. In the first passage read this evening, there is something really beautiful about this verse. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy's mother and grandmother were believers, but his father was not, at least not at first. In the Roman world, fathers had absolute authority over the family, and since Timothy's father was not a Christian, his home situation was less than ideal, though not necessarily terrible. But his mother and grandmother either led him to Jesus or grounded him in the faith. God wants to use parents and grandparents to pass on an eternal legacy to their children and grandchildren. Our children and grandchildren will be accountable before God. They must have their own relationship with Jesus Christ. Mum and Dad's relationship with God will not bring them eternal life. Our children and grandchildren need Jesus. Many of us here have or know adult children who grew up in Christian homes, probably grew up going to Sunday school, kids club, youth group, and youth camps, and may even have gone to Christian schools. They may also have expressed faith at some point, but now say they don't believe. Remember what it says in Ephesians: fathers, do not exasperate your children. My encouragement to you is, don't bait them or irritate them, and don't stop being a Christian in their presence if they don't believe. You say grace, you keep talking about church and what happened that week. Sometimes they might think you're baiting them, so you've got to be careful, but you can't stop being Christian around them. You can also tell them that you are praying for them if they're going through a bit of a rough time. That might irritate them, but it's very hard to be really irritated by someone who says, I'm praying for you. It says, we love you, we care for you, and we believe that Jesus can answer prayer. Now, I understand some of you are here tonight, have children that have walked away from the faith. Sometimes they can be quite bitter. They may have walked away because of deep hurt or misunderstanding, or they feel they've been robbed of something. These relationships, really, all relationships with children who don't believe, require great patience, godliness, wisdom on the part of parents and grandparents. Now, the second passage encourages us to stand firm in our faith through the reading of Scripture. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I love Paul's challenge to Timothy to be faithful to what he had been taught and to remember why he could trust and what he had been taught. Paul reminded Timothy that Scripture can make us wise, give us faith, correct us, teach us, prepare us, and equip us in two very important ways. Firstly, through a parent, grandparent, or spiritual parent, and secondly, through the reading of Scriptures themselves. He describes here that it can make us wise for salvation in Christ Jesus. So how do we respond when your child tells you they don't need Jesus? The first thing is pray, and pray some more, and pray some more, and pray some more. And I know I bang on about this every sermon I preach, but Jesus answers prayers. Number two, be compassionate. Doubt is a consequence of living in this broken world. Remember that your child may not have chosen his or her doubts. Often our doubts choose us. A friend of mine lost his faith after concluding that science and Jesus are not compatible. His parents became angry at him. "It isn't fair that they should be mad at me," he explained. "I didn't want to doubt, but I simply cannot make myself believe what I don't think is true." Pray that God will lead you to show mercy and grace to your children when they struggle with doubt. They need you more than ever now. Number three, speak Christ into your child's life, but avoid arguing and nagging. You are going to want to argue with your son or daughter. You're going to want to prove them wrong. You are going to want them to meet with some expert who can prove that they should return to Jesus. But you should know that that rarely works. Of course, it is right to speak truth to people who are leaving the faith. But when people are losing faith, arguments really rarely bring them back. Rather than nagging, shaming, and constantly trying to prove your point, choose instead simply to witness Christ in your life. When good things happen in your life, give daily thanks to God in front of them. When you have to make a decision, let them see that you pray. When you feel joy, tell them it came from King Jesus. Be a witness, not a prosecuting lawyer. A witness is someone who has seen something, not someone who tries to prove something. Let them see King Jesus in your life, rather than constant conclusions from your logical syllogisms. Our children and grandchildren need Jesus. Finally, this is really about trusting God. We need to circle back to God's sovereignty, His perfect plan for all creation, His unfathomable love for each of us. But then what about when? What about when our grandchildren and our children and our nieces and nephews, their hearts are broken? The relationship they'd long for doesn't happen. They are lonely and struggling to make adult friendships. They feel uncertain about their future. They have wandered from their faith. They're in relationships that aren't healthy anymore. They've developed unhealthy habits or addictions. Or they're facing a devastating medical diagnosis. The list could go on and on and on. So what then? Well, some things get easier once your kids leave home, don't they? There are some small blessings in not having to be aware of their every move. Sometimes parenting those adult children, though, can be downright heart-wrenching. So what do we do? How do we learn to trust God in all circumstances? Well, it's a daily practice of turning to Him first, surrendering our fears, worries and anxieties about our kids to the only one who loves them more than we do, and that's Jesus. Amen.